Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. Ecclesiastes, chapter number 12. A couple of thoughts tonight that I believe will be a blessing and be a help, be a challenge. Before I get finished preaching tonight, it is in my heart to honor these young people, to honor the seniors and our other young people as well. But when I titled the message, I titled it An Encouraging Word for the Young and the Old Alike. And God's Word will encourage all of us. And you'll see why I think that title in a little while. Amen. In chapter 12, verse 1 of Ecclesiastes, Solomon said, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them." I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter right now, but I'll be reading portions from it as we go through the message tonight. Let's bow for prayer once again. Father, take the message now and seal it to our hearts. Help us to have ears to hear tonight what the Spirit of God would say to us as a church, to say to the young people, and say to our senior citizens. And I pray, God, that you would just help us all to look to you and lean on you and to live for you till you come. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. There's three areas tonight that I want to look at here in this chapter in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. But before I do, I mentioned this yesterday in our visitation, and it's in my heart to mention it again. We buried last week an uncle of mine. His name was Isaac McCracken. And my uncle Isaac was a blessing. There's an old saying that says the only difference between men and boys is the price of their toys. And my Uncle Isaac and my Aunt Dixie lived in Washington, D.C., in the suburbs of Washington, D.C., and we live northeast of Baltimore. For those of you that have been trying for 3 years to figure out what's wrong with your pastor, now you know, amen. I graduated high school in Edgewood, Maryland. But they would come up about every other weekend, and it just seemed like about every time they came, my Uncle Isaac had something different to play with. And just as a young boy, he brought a .22. It was one that you put one bullet in it, and you put the bolt forward, and then you pull the little thing on the back of the bolt back, and you shoot it. And then you do it all over again, just a little single-shot .22. And I was a good shot. I'm not saying that boastfully, but I was a good shot. At that time, I could see iron sights. Brother Houston, I didn't have to have a scope. I mean, I could look that bead out there, and I could see the target. I could see the bead. I could see the dovetail in the rear sight. I could line it all up, and honey, I could shoot. Amen. I loved it. Well, I guess my Uncle Isaac thought that I needed a little bit of humility, because the next time he came back, he came and he'd load the gun for my dad. And my dad would hit what he was aiming at. He'd load the gun for himself, and he'd hit what he was aiming at. He'd load the gun for me, and I couldn't hit anything else. I mean, I one weekend I was shooting great. Skip a weekend, next weekend I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn. And what happened was he had run across something in a sporting goods store called a .22 blank. And every time it was my turn to shoot, he would load a .22 blank in the rifle. And I didn't discover it until I was shooting at a dime on a fence post, and I walked right up to the dime, put the barrel right like that, and squeezed the trigger, and the dime didn't go anywhere. And even as a young lad, I knew I had been had. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why did you mention that?" Here's why. The Bible said, "Remember now thy Creator." And memories with my uncle and my dad, to be honest with you, have flooded my heart this week. I can remember my uncle and my dad working on a boat motor. they had the top off of it and put it back together and had it off and put it back together and had it off and put it back together. They could not get them. This was before the days of electric start. They could not get the rope to engage. It was just freewheel. They tried and tried and tried to figure it out. And I reckon one of them just happened to lean on the top of the motor while the other one pulled it. And there was a little silver button on top that you had to push down and the boat motor would start right up after they worked on it all day. You say, preacher, where are you going with this? Brother Lance, I wouldn't have those memories if I didn't know those men. Had I not known my uncle, I couldn't remember my uncle. Had I not known my dad, I couldn't remember my dad. And I believe one of the keys in remembering the Creator in the days of our youth is to know the Creator in the days of our youth. Well, as far as I know, it would be very difficult to remember someone that you don't know. And so I want to start with that, and we're going to go and have, a good time in the message tonight. But I want to give you three things. First of all, in this chapter, Solomon speaks of the choices in life. I read this, and I thought it would be a good way to think about it and start the message off. There were children. They went into a retirement home, and they were asked by one of the residents if they had any questions. One girl said, "How old are you?" And this lady said, "I'm 98. And she was proud of it. Clearly, the young'un was impressed, and his eyes grew wide with wonder, and he said, "Did you start at one?" It doesn't matter how old you are. We all started in the same place. If you'll think about something, the Bible said we came in this world naked, and we're going to leave out the same way. I believe many times we're missing the mark in life by concentrating heavily on the temporal and not concentrating enough on the eternal. Amen. And so tonight, Solomon speaks of the choices in life. I want to give you a couple of things as far as choosing, a challenge to the young people. First of all, choose to honor. The Bible said, "Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee." Ephesians 6, Paul repeats it. "Honor thy father and mother," which is the first commandment with promise. I believe when a young person will honor their parents, God will bless that. And I want to say something. All young people don't have godly parents. Some of them have ungodly parents. And I'll tell you this, I believe even if you have an ungodly mother or an ungodly father, you ought to honor that mother and honor that father. That doesn't mean you have to go down that road, but I believe we ought to honor our mother and our father. That ought to be a choice in life that we make. Not only choose to honor, but we ought to choose to hope. You say, "Preacher, why did you say that?" Because the Word of God tells us, beloved, that our hope is our faith. Our faith is to be in the Lord Jesus Christ. The songwriter said it like this, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness." He said, "I dare not claim the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand." That's a choice to stand right there. Amen. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. The young person that God will use will choose to honor their mother and father. They will choose to put their hope, to put their faith, to put their confidence in the Lord God Almighty and in His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We'll choose to hope. And then I'll give you this. Listen carefully right here. Solomon speaks of the choices in life. Some, you know, will choose to be pure till the day they get married. And that is a wonderful choice to make in life. Amen. You say, "Preacher, why would you say that?" Because it's a choice that lines up with the Word of God. That's the way God would have it. Amen.
There are many in this room that know that it doesn't always work that way, but that ought to be the way we strive for. Amen. As the people of God, choose to honor, choose to hope. But then this right here, young people here, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. They ought to choose to help. I've been around just this past week. And it's not just this past week, but it just shows up, especially at Bible school, especially at Christmas time. Lots of things go on around this church that probably 90% of the church knows nothing about. And the last thing that I wanted to say in this first part of the message is we need to choose to help, to be a helper. And I've seen young people helping. Yesterday, Brother Steve, there were young people that gathered to help, amen, to get the word out about the Bible school. There weren't just a few. There were many young people there. And to God be the glory. I tell you, that ought to be a choice in our life. It's to help in the work of God. To help. 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 There are so many ways for young people to help in the work of the Lord. Someone said, just one life will soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Amen. May God help us and be an encouragement to our young people, to thank our young people, to set an example for our young people that they might help in the days ahead in the work of the Lord. And then I want you to see, not only does Solomon speak of the choices in life, but Solomon speaks of the changes in life. I don't know in all of my Bible studies that I've ever really, I guess it's a word, delved or dove into chapter 12 like I did yesterday as I studied. And I'm not going to give you a detailed explanation, but I want you to see the changes taking place here. Watch in verse number 1. He said, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when I shall say I have no pleasure in them. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened. You say, preacher, what's that talking about? It's talking about your vision won't always be what it has been. It's going to get dim. Nor the clouds return after the rain. I studied this out. Amen. And what that's talking about is you no sooner get through one ailment and there's another ailment on its track. Amen. On its trail. It's just something right after something, right after something. You think about young people there. Trying to get through school and get out of school and get in college and get through college and get out of college and get a job. And then they have children and they're tied up taking care of their children. And then, my friend, they're tied up with their jobs. And then you grow up and thank God we do grow up. But there are troubles that come. Changes come. Amen. All of a sudden, things that used to be so important aren't so important anymore. When that little youngin's up there on your lap, priorities change. Things change in life. Things change physically. He said the clouds in the day when the keeper of the house shall tremble. Strong men shall bow themselves. The grinders cease because there are few. Talking about the teeth. And those that look out of the windows be darkened. The doors be shut in the street. Talking about how the people gather in, shut the doors, lock the doors, trying to stay safe. When the sound of the grinding is low, rise up at the voice of a bird. Doesn't take much to disturb your sleep. Help me, old people. Amen. Amen. There are changes coming. And all the daughters of music shall be brought low. That was written especially for pastor. Amen. You're liable to lose your hearing too along the way. Amen. Changes are coming. We ought to understand that according to Solomon, these changes in life, they can have an effect one way or the other. I'll share that with you after a while. I want to make a contrast between Solomon in his latter days and the precious man of God called Caleb in his latter days. There are changes that will be coming. A couple had been married for 50 years, and Things have really changed, she said. You used to sit very close to me. He said, well, I can remember that, remedy that. So he said, moving on next over, close to her on the couch. She said, you used to hold me tight. He said, how's that? As he gave her a big hug. Do you remember you used to nudge my neck and nibble on my earlobes? He jumped to his feet and left the room. She said, where are you going? He said, I'm going to get my teeth. Things change along the way. I promise you, they change along the way. Someone said, don't look at her, look at her mother. You'll get that after a while. Say amen. Amen. Solomon speaks of the choices in life. I thought about this, and last year, Brother Johnny, at the retreat, I tried to challenge with a broken heart our young people. You remember about our church and our senior citizens, about developing relationships with them and getting to know them, knowing their names, knowing something about them, praying for them. And I thought about as I read this, this is called The Beatitudes for Friends of the Aged by Esther Mary Walker. And I want you to listen to what this says because it's a blessing. There are changes that are going to come. I thank God that in our church, we do have the babies filling up the nursery. We do have the 3 to 5 year olds filling up a room and busting out. We do have the children's church. We do have teenagers. We do have young couples. But I thank God for our senior citizens as well that God has given us here in this church. Blessed are they who understand my faltering step and palsied hand. Blessed are they who know that my ears today must strain to catch the things they say. Blessed are they who seem to know that my eyes are dim and my wits are slow. Blessed are they who looked away when coffee spilled at the table today. Blessed are they with a cheery smile who stopped to chat for a little while. Listen, I'm not tooting my own horn. Listen to me carefully. I went to see Brother Darris the other day, and a man, I don't know him from Adam, he hollered at me over there at Wexford House and said, hey, brother, come over here. You know what brother did? He came over there. And we had sweet fellowship. The man was a Christian man. Another woman sat there watching us and was weeping. And I was getting ready to leave. And she said, where did you get that wonderful personality? This is what I told that woman. I said, honey, I'm going to tell you what I've told everybody. If there's anything bad about me, put that on my account. But if there's anything good about me, Jesus is responsible for it. She wept, she shouted, said, praise the Lord. I'm telling you, we have an opportunity to encourage people along the way. Blessed are they who never say, you told that story twice today. Blessed are they who know the ways to bring back memories of yesterdays. Blessed are they who make it known that I am loved, respected, and not alone. Blessed are they who know I'm at a loss to find the strength to carry the cross. Blessed are they who ease the days on my journey home in loving ways. I say that Solomon speaks of the choices in life. Beloved, this room is full of people that if we could stand where these four young people stood, would make some different choices than we made. Would somebody help me and say amen? And I'm just trying to emphasize that those choices have consequences. And that, listen, beloved, that try your best to make the choices based on God's precious word. Solomon speaks of the changes in life. I didn't used to, you know, have the, I don't know where they came from. They just all showed up at once. I didn't know the foot bone was connected to the leg bone until the connection tore up. Say amen. Some didn't know that the leg bone was connected to the hip bone till the connection tears up. But the changes are coming. I'll say some more about that in just a moment. But then Solomon speaks of the conclusion in life. When you get down to verse number 13 and verse number 14, Solomon said, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." I've told you this before, but I thought when we started parenting that the key to parenting was to teach your children to fear dad and to fear mom. Now I tell you, that's not the key. Dad's not always there. Dad doesn't always see. Dad doesn't always hear. Mom doesn't always see, although they see better than dad most of the time. I think God gave them an extra set of eyes somewhere. Amen. But I tell you, God always sees. God always hears. God always knows. Solomon speaks of the conclusion in life. There's a man in the Bible by the name of Caleb. I'll read in just a moment some of his story. It goes back to the choices and the conclusion that his life came to. I want to read this first. I thought this was very fitting. I want to contrast. If you look at verse 8 of chapter 12, Solomon writes, "Vanity of vanity, saith the preacher, all is vanity." He came to a place in his life where he realized that the temporal things were not what we should be keying in on. I believe Solomon, in his older days, wasted his life on riotous living, on strange women and their gods. Amen. That's what the Bible said. But I believe that Caleb, in his last days, did not waste his life. And I want to show you that in just a moment. A man said old age can be a most rewarding period of life. Please listen to this. "For those who have found the satisfaction of a loving and close relationship with the Heavenly Father through faith in His Son, the sunset years can be more appropriately labeled the golden years." Henry D'UrbervilleHe felt that way. In his book, "The Best Is Yet to Be," he wrote, "I feel so sorry for folks who do not like to grow old." He said, "I revel in my years. They enrich me. I would not exchange the abiding rest of soul, the measure of wisdom I have gained from the sweet and from the bitter, perplexing experiences of life, nor the confirmed faith I now have in the love of God, for all the bright and uncertain hopes and the joys of youth. Indeed, I would not. These are the best years of my life. The way grows brighter. The birds sing sweeter. The winds blow softer. The sun shines more radiantly than ever before. I suppose my outward man is perishing, but my inward man is being joyously renewed day by day." Robertson McQuilkin wrote, "God planned the strength and beauty of youth to be physical, but the strength and beauty of age is spiritual. We gradually lose the strength and beauty that is temporary, so that we'll be sure to concentrate on the strength and beauty that is eternal." I say hallelujah. God has a place for all of us in His service. Every one of us, young and old alike. Listen to what the Bible said in Joshua 14 and verse 6. the children of Judah came unto Joshua in Gilgal. And Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said unto him, Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. I don't know the names of the other 10 spies, but I sure can remember the two that believed God. One of them's name was Joshua, and the other one's name was Caleb. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the people melt. But Caleb said, I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Now behold, the Lord kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. He's 85. As yet I am strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war, both to go out and to come in. Listen to this statement. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how the heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. I'll say three things quickly about Caleb. Number one, he chose to follow. He followed the Lord. He followed the man of God. Number two, he chose to have faith. He chose to believe God. Caleb and Joshua saw the same thing that the other 10 men saw. But they saw something different. By the way, this ought to be an encouraging word for us today. When we watch the news, we don't get encouraged. Amen. We don't see anything to encourage us about our country, about this world that we live in. But honey, God's people ought to be seeing something besides the news. Caleb saw that what God had promised, he was able to perform. And he waited patiently on the promise of God. Caleb chose to follow. Caleb chose to have faith. And then this last one, Caleb chose to be faithful. I'm not trying to play on your heartstrings, but I think that the man that pastored this church for over 30 years stayed by the stuff. And it's been told me that in a moment, Brother Jack said something like this, Well, looky there. I'll tell you something right now. I hope I can stay by the stuff until the day I can say, Well, looky there. There he is. There's the one I've been looking for. There's the one I've been loving on. The one that's been loving on me. There's the one I've been living for. There's the one I've been leaning on. Well, looky there. Looky there. Beloved, I believe that Solomon is trying to encourage us to think about the choices in life. to think about the changes in life. Brother Houston, if we would be honest, I think you would agree with me. We didn't enjoy our children near as good as we enjoy our grandchildren. We was too busy trying to beat out a living, weren't we, brother? Trying to get some more sandwich meat together to go on the table. I mentioned to Brother Houston last week about the men that came and laid the rock, kind of being up against it. And Brother Houston looked at me and he said, "I've been there, preacher." I said, "I have too, brother. God's been good to us." You won't hang around long till you'll find out the changes are coming. The changes are coming. Used to, Brother Johnny, you could set somebody in that dunking booth. Why, a circle, honey, that big around wouldn't stand a chance. I'd just rear back and I'd probably hit it 4 out of 5 times. I don't rear back anymore because I'm not sure what's going to fly loose. There might be something besides the ball headed that way if I rear back. Amen. Used to rear back with a ball bat and knock a ball, hit a ball hard. Used to be able to run the bases fast. I want a designated runner now. Amen. And I sure don't want to swing at the ball and miss it. I found out in my back that hurts a lot worse than swinging at the ball and hitting it. How many knows what I'm talking about? Golf used to be more fun, didn't it, Brother Wayne? Amen. The changes are coming. I want our young people to enjoy their lives. But I want them to understand the choices will affect the rest of their life. The changes are coming. And the conclusion is, fear God. Serve the Lord. Keep His commandments. One day after a while, Brother Logan, you could hear him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Make the ruler over many." My dad told me when I was in the 10th grade, never shall forget it. He said, "Son, the older you get, the faster time goes." And I thought I never would get out of school. That's the truth. I thought I never would. One thing that helped, I got interested in girls. That helped a lot. That made the school day go a whole lot better. I was a late bloomer, so to speak. Say amen. Miss Eve come along and just seemed like ever since then, we've been married 30-something years now. You say, "Why'd you say something?" Ask her if you want specifics. Amen. Seemed like first thing you know, a little youngin' was coming. And another one. Then 8 years later, 2 more. Now 9 grandchildren. But I wouldn't take nothing for my journey now. I hope that God will help us in the message to take care of the choices, to realize that the changes are coming. Brother Chris, when I came here, your hair wasn't white, was it, brother? Brother Chris loved his pastor so much he wanted to be just like him. He said, "God, make my hair white." Amen. Here it come. Amen. I will never forget my mama standing behind me and she said, "Really, Connie, your hair's turning gray." I turned around, looked up at Mama and said, "If you stay out of that bottle, yours turn gray too." Mama never did mention it again. Some men say, My hair's turning gray, and you look at them and theirs turned loose. I'll take gray. Amen. Amen. I'm glad I'm saved tonight, aren't you? I'm glad I know in the end the conclusion of the whole matter. I'm on a path that I know where it'll end me up, in the city of God, on heaven's bright shore. And I'll tell you something. I say this respectfully. Many people are concerned. Listen to me carefully. That so many young people, when they kind of go away from home, they tend to leave the house of God. I'm going to say something. You listen to me carefully. I'll tell you why that is a lot of times, I believe, in my heart. It's because they didn't choose to be here to start with. I'm not against mom and dad choosing. Honey, if you live at my house, you're going to church. Say amen. But young people, ask yourself this question. Is this where I would be if it were my choice? You're looking at a pastor that believes. We have a lot of young people that are not here because they have to be. But they're here because they want to be. They want to be in the house of God. They want to serve the Lord. Amen. They want something that's real. They want their life to count for the glory of God. God knows the secret things will be revealed. Amen. I appreciate you coming this way tonight. Let's pray together. Father, it's been a blessing to be here tonight. Lord, I have a desire, a deep desire, to be a blessing to our young people. God, they're a blessing to me. I have a desire, Lord, to be a blessing to our senior citizens as well. God, they're a blessing to me. Lord, I pray that you would help me to be like Caleb in my older days, to follow you, Lord, to have faith in God, to be faithful to the God that loved us and gave himself for us. God, I pray tonight that all these young people that have graduated, Marion, Zach, and Mandy, and Autumn, would know that no matter where they go, however you lead them in their lives, our hearts and our prayers and our thoughts be with them. God, I pray your best for their lives. I pray, God, that they would remember us. Lord, as I went by the other day to see Brother Darris Horn, Lord, has given his life to the gospel. His days, Lord, are kind of short now. Help us not to forget these soldiers, Lord. Help us, Lord, that we might go by and try to speak an encouraging word. Remember, Lord, that the day may come soon when we'll be in the same place, the same shape or worse. Lord, life truly is but a vapor. It's here for a little while and then it vanishes away. It's my prayer, Lord, that if there's someone in this service tonight that doesn't know you, God, that you'd speak to their heart. Lord, that they would be encouraged by the Holy Spirit to trust Jesus, convicted by the Holy Spirit of sin, of righteousness, the judgment to come. Lord, a man, a woman, a boy, a girl without Christ that's accountable to God must be born again. Help them, Lord.